Coming up, a message from the pulpit of Bethel Primitive Baptist Church in Calabash, North Carolina, by Elder Michael Goins. For information about Bethel Church, please visit our website at bethelpbc.us.
Our subject this morning is a twilight prayer to the risen Christ. And we're looking at verses 28 and 29, particularly from Luke 24, as our text. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And Jesus made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, that is, they begged him, they implored him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. This is a twilight prayer offered at the close of the day, as the sun is setting. They said, Abide with us. And it's a prayer to the resurrected or the risen Christ. This 24th chapter of Luke is one of the four resurrection accounts found in the gospel record. Matthew has his account, Mark, John, and here is Luke's in Luke chapter 24. It begins by discussing the empty tomb. As the women who followed Jesus came to the sepulcher, they found the stone rolled away. They went in, and the body of Jesus was gone. And as they wondered about it and were troubled, an angel appeared to them, saying, He is not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And it says they remembered his words. At this, the women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, went to the apostles and reported the experience that they had seen. Peter and John subsequently ran to the sepulcher, and when they entered in, they found it even as the women had said. They found the linen clothes lying where the body of Jesus had lain, and they found the napkin that was about his face neatly folded. And then we have this story beginning in verse 13 concerning two of the disciples of Jesus. It says, Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all things which had happened. So these two are returning from Jerusalem to Emmaus, to their home. The day has come and gone. The sun is about to set, and they are making their way home. While they journey, suddenly a stranger begins to walk with them, and they fail to recognize this stranger. There's something about him that is unfamiliar to them. He asks them what they're talking about, and he acknowledges that evidently they are sad. One of them, it says in verse 18 of Luke 24, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death. And they have crucified him, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And some of our number went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said. And now we pick up with our reading. Then this stranger said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and in all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Wouldn't you like to have heard that sermon? Jesus himself explaining the meaning of Old Testament messianic prophecy. And then we come to our text. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. Now the man's name here is Cleopas, as we saw in verse 18. Since this is their house, it is likely that this other person is his wife, who is elsewhere identified in the gospel record as Mary of Cleopas. So let's say this is a husband-wife team making their way home as the day begins to close. Jesus, the risen Christ, now journeys with them. They don't recognize him. Obviously, there's something about a glorified body that may appear differently than the body prior to death. And they come to the village Emmaus, and Jesus made as though he would have gone further. Now, obviously, there was no insincerity in Jesus. You might wonder, would he have actually gone further, or was this just a pretense to get an invitation out of them? Well, obviously, he would have kept going had they not cried out to him. And I wonder sometimes how many blessings we've missed because we've not prayed. How many times the Lord has passed on by because we failed to ask. James tells us you have not because you ask not. And it says he made as though he would have gone further. So they see evidence that he intends to keep going, but it says they constrained him. That is, they again implored him. They invited him. They urged him, saying, "Abide with us." What a wonderful prayer this is. Abide with us, for the day is far spent. It is toward evening. And he complied with their invitation. He went in to tarry with them. The subsequent narrative reveals that in the home, their eyes were opened and they knew him as he broke bread, and then he vanished out of their sight. What a wonderful encounter. A post-resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful experience this must have been to have entertained the risen Christ in their own home. Now, I say this is a twilight prayer. It's a petition at the end of the day, as the daylight fades to the darkness of evening. They make this request to the Lord as the sun sets over the western horizon, as, if you please, twilight is stealing over the sea. You may know that there is a popular Christian hymn that was composed from this text. It is the familiar hymn by Henry Light entitled, "Abide with Me." The author of the hymn, Henry Francis Light, was an Anglican priest and vicar of All Saints Church in Brixham, England. He was also a published poet and an accomplished hymn writer who penned other hymns in our hymnal, such as "Jesus, I My Cross Have Taken." He also penned a hymn entitled "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven." For most of his life, Henry Light suffered from poor health. He was a very frail individual physically, and he would regularly travel abroad for relief, as was the tradition in that day. But Henry Light, when he was age 54, developed tuberculosis. And he was told by his doctor that if he didn't move from his home near the seaside to a different climate, that his life would be cut even further short. So as he came near the end of his life, Mr. Light preached a final sermon at the church that he pastored prior to leaving them, and then he took a walk by the seaside. His daughter, Anna Maria Maxwell Hogg, recounts the story of how "Abide with Me" came out of that experience. She says the summer was passing away, and the month of September arrived, and each day seemed to have a special value as being one day nearer his departure. His family was surprised and almost alarmed when he announced his intention of preaching once more to his congregation. His weakness and the possible danger that attended the effort were such that they urged him not to do it, but their appeals were in vain. It was better, as he used to say playfully when he was in comparably good health, it is better to wear out than to rust out. He felt that he should be enabled to fulfill his wish, and he wasn't afraid of the result, and his expectation was well-founded. He did preach that day, and amid the breathless attention of his hearers, whose hearts were heavy knowing that he would soon be leaving them, he gave them a sermon on the subject of the communion. After his sermon that afternoon, Mr. Light went down to the seaside and looked at the beautiful sea that he had so long admired, which had been the inspiration for many a sweet meditation, and as he walked by the seaside, he wrote these words. That evening of the same day, he placed in the hands of a near and dear relative the little hymn, Abide With Me. And weeks later, while he was in Nice, France, Henry Light went to be with the Lord. It was November the 20th, 1847. Listen to the words of this wonderful hymn. Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Not a brief glance I beg, a passing word, but as thou dwellest with thy disciples, Lord, familiar, condescending, patient, free, come not to sojourn, but abide with me. Come not in terrors as the King of Kings, but kind and good with healing in thy wings. Tears for all woes, a heart for every plea. Come, friend of sinners, and thus bide with me. Thou on my head in early youth didst smile, and though rebellious and perverse meanwhile, thou hast not left me, oft as I left thee. On to the close, O Lord, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who, like thyself, my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, Lord, abide with me. I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where, grave, thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes, shine through the gloom, and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks, and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. Yes, indeed, Mr. Light constrained the Lord to abide with him, just as Cleopas and his beloved wife, Mary, constrained Jesus, the risen Christ, on this occasion, abide with us, for it is toward evening. I want you to notice the reason for making this request, for it is toward evening. You see, the eventide is falling. Perhaps you can say that in your life today. It is toward evening. It appears that the day has spent, that it is past and gone, that the sun is setting. This would apply to those who are of mature years. Are you living in the evening of life, in the twilight of old age? Indeed, dear friends, there are trials and difficulties aplenty as age and feebleness extreme takes its toll upon our health. There are fears. The world seems to be passing us by. Others are busy and don't have the time for us that perhaps they did in earlier times. We say, I feel alone. I feel afraid. I'm not sure exactly what tomorrow holds. My friends, here's a prayer for you in the twilight of mature years, an experience that will come on each one of us if the Lord Jesus tarries. Then indeed, each one of us will experience what Ecclesiastes 12 describes as that evil day. The wise man said to his young auditors, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now perhaps some who are listening to me today are there right now. The evil days have come when the windows are darkened. That's simply a way of describing, poetically, failing eyesight. You can't see as well as you once could. It appears that your windows are shaded because your eyesight is failing. When the sound of the grinding is low, that is, your hearing is beginning to fail. He talks about the fear of places that are high. You don't want to get up on a ladder anymore because the fear of falling is greater than ever. It says the grasshopper will be a burden. You'll be more worried about an insect in your garden than you are what's happening in countries around the globe. He talks about the silver cord being loosed, the golden bowl being broken. What a lovely poetic description this is of a very difficult and challenging period in a person's life. Old age, mature years. Twilight is stealing over the sea. Maybe you're like Mr. Light. Although he was only 54 years of age when he contracted tuberculosis, yet perhaps you're 74, 84, or 94. And you say, "Preacher, I can see that my best days, as far as vim, vigor, and vitality are concerned, are behind me. I don't know what tomorrow holds." Well, then here's a prayer. Here's a request for you. Abide with me, for fast falls the eventide. Perhaps you're living not in the twilight of mature years, but in the twilight of difficult circumstances. Each one of us go through experiences in our lives when we face trials and affliction. Instead of the twilight of life, you're in the evening of trial and affliction in your life. It appears that the sun is not shining, that the storm clouds have gathered, that the fog has set in, and perhaps you say, "I wonder if my happiest days are behind me. I wonder if the sun will ever shine again. Will these trials and difficulties and challenges ever be lifted?" Well, my friend, in an experience like that, if you're facing financial crisis, health crisis, relational difficulties, if you're facing feelings of loneliness or fears and anxieties and discouragements and depression, may I say, dear friends, here's a prayer for you. Abide with me, for fast falls the eventide. And then perhaps each one of us can identify with this application of the text, that we are living in the evening of time, the twilight of world history. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 tells us that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, despisers of those that are good. He says they will be covetous, proud, boasters. They shall be disobedient to parents. In other words, he describes that period shortly before Jesus Christ comes again as a time in which society will crumble, in which all the trappings of life that were once so familiar to us will change, in which the family will break down. People will be narcissistic. They will be materialistic. They will be, if you please, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Churches will be empty, and the golf courses and the lakes and the sports arenas will be filled to capacity. Indeed, dear friends, times have always been challenging and difficult because we're living in a world that's under the curse of sin. But the Bible indicates that before the second coming of Jesus Christ, the world will not get better and better, but it will wax worse and worse. Oh, the humanist tells us that we're heading toward utopia, that man can save the day. The world tells us that man started at the bottom in the primordial soup, and he has elevated himself to his present position, and it's just a one scientific discovery away before we will reach global utopia. My friends, the Bible tells a different story. Tells us that man started in paradise and he fell to the bottom, and that he's been getting worse ever since. You might ask, "Preacher, how can you get worse than the bottom?" Well, the Bible speaks of nothing and yea, less than nothing. May I say, dear friends, that apart from God's intervention, apart from his favor, apart from his sovereign grace, you and I will continue to self-destruct. We will continue to go downward. We will continue to disintegrate, and we see that in world history. Yes, technology's given us the illusion that the world is becoming better and better. But I dare say, dear friends, it's amazing how just one small little invisible germ can shut down society. That should teach us how frail, how weak, how brief and uncertain at best our lives are. Romans 13:11 tells us that it is high time to awake out of our sleep and to put on the armor of light. For he says, our salvation is nearer than when we believed. I've had people say to me before, "Preacher, the Bible is just not contemporary. It's just not relevant." I'm telling you, my friend, that the Word of God is up to the minute in its relevance. Can you think of a verse more relevant to your life right now than this one? Now is your salvation. Now is your final deliverance into the presence of the Lord nearer than when you believed. That verse is even more true today, if I can say it like that, than it was yesterday. And it'll be more true tomorrow than it is today, because now our salvation is nearer. We're living in a time of darkness, but my friends, the light will dawn. And while we're in the twilight of world history and we don't understand all that is going on in the moving and shaking among the powers that be, how wonderful to be able to say to the risen Christ, the one who's conquered our biggest problem, death, for he is alive, to be able to pray to him, abide with me, for it is toward evening, the night is at hand. There's another hymn that draws from the imagery of this sentiment. It's an old hymn by Mrs. C.S. Smith entitled, "Tarry With Me, O My Savior, For the Day Is Passing By. See the shades of evening gather, and the night is drawing nigh. Deeper, deeper grow the shadows, paler now the glowing west. Swift the night of death advances, shall it be the night of rest? Tarry with me, O my Savior, lay my head upon thy breast. Till the morning, then awake me, morning of eternal rest. Tarry with me, blessed Jesus, leave me not till morning light, for I'm lonely here without thee. Tarry with me through the night." Oh, my friends, what a wonderful prayer this is that we make to our Lord. Abide with me, for it is toward evening. One day you will dwell and I will dwell with him and he with us forever. Until then, may we in the twilight experiences of our lives make this our prayer. Abide with me. I need thee every hour. Most gracious Lord, stay thou nearby, for the evening sun is setting. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for this wonderful narrative that describes the encounter of the two on Emmaus Road with the risen Christ. We're so thankful to trust a risen Savior today who conquered death, hell, and the grave, who's walked away from the tomb, leaving it empty. We're thankful to know that the risen Christ is now on his throne, ever living to make intercession for us, that he hears our prayers, that he cares for his own, and that when we ask him to dwell with us, to stay with us, to tarry with us, he comes and brings blessing to our homes, to our hearts, to our churches, to our lives. O Lord, hear us today. Help all who feel their need of thee. Bless all who are suffering. Draw nigh to us. Show your strength in our weakness. And may our lives redound to the glory of the Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. Help us by the Holy Spirit that will be the case. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And amen.